At the beginning of April, you may have seen headlines about the Supreme Court declining to review a class action suit involving De Beers, the legendary diamond company. The suit itself and the reason it went to the Supreme Court have to do with various legal issues involving class actions. More interesting to jewelry buyers are the reasons De Beers attempted to settle the class action and what it means longer term. Hi, my name is Fleury Summers, creator of a series of instructional DVDs for professional pearl and bead stringers. Although De Beers is a name familiar to almost anyone who has ever bought jewelry, ironically, the company itself has been shrouded in mystery throughout its long history. That's because De Beers was not a retailer of diamonds. It operated in the background, owning or controlling mines, and developing what was called a single-channel distribution system, whereby it distributed most of the diamonds in the world through middlemen called sightholders. For many years, it appeared that this business model was unbreakable. As a result, despite major legal and ethical transgressions, De Beers could afford to ignore public consequences of unethical behavior. If you wanted a diamond, that diamond was probably sourced by De Beers, and it didn't matter whether you actually bought the diamond from a local independent jeweler or a major retailer. De Beers' troubles in the U.S. began in earnest during World War II. Industrial diamonds were desperately needed for the war effort because only diamonds were hard enough to stamp out the millions of precision parts necessary for producing airplane engines, torpedoes, tanks, and other weapons. Despite pleas by the U.S. government, and despite an apparent agreement to supply the diamonds, De Beers feared releasing its stockpile would jeopardize its control over the world market and, of course, world market prices. As a result, it did not cooperate with the war effort, and there is evidence to suggest that De Beers actually raised the prices of the diamonds that the U.S. was able to secure. In any event, the company's intransigence prompted the Justice Department to begin an exhaustive investigation of De Beers' business practices, and in 1945, the department filed antitrust charges against the cartel. De Beers' response was to thumb its nose at the U.S. It simply packed up its U.S. operations and continued to do business from London, South Africa, and Switzerland. Of course, De Beers' executives couldn't step foot on U.S. soil for fear of being arrested, but that was a small price to pay as long as it controlled the world supply and distribution of diamonds. In 1957 and 1974, the U.S. again filed antitrust charges against De Beers, and in 1994, accused De Beers and General Electric of colluding to fix the prices of industrial diamonds. In every case, De Beers ignored the charges and continued to do business as it always had. But beginning in the early years of this century, the De Beers model began to weaken, if not crumble. The Soviet Union, the second largest producer of diamonds in the world, broke up and began selling diamonds outside the cartel. The Argyle mine in Australia, a large producer of low-quality commercial and industrial diamonds, in addition to the pink diamonds for which it is known, refused to renew its contract with De Beers. And finally, rich new diamond deposits were found in Canada, which the cartel was not able to control. The handwriting was on the wall. De Beers, which had controlled up to 90% of the world's diamonds, now controlled only 65%. It was clear the company needed to shift business strategies, and it did. It became a major player in supporting the Kimberley process, the effort to control blood diamonds. After a decade, it settled the GE suit with the Justice Department, which allowed it to enter the U.S. retail market. It entered into agreements with the European Union to retail its diamonds, and although settling this class action suit may be delayed by new filings, it is attempting to settle. So why all this burnishing of its image? Because De Beers has become a player in the U.S. retail diamond market. Finally, after all these years, the company is beginning to understand the perils of ignoring public opinion. It may not actually be a kinder and gentler company, but it is learning to behave like one. For more articles and resources, and for the series of professional pearl and bead stringing DVDs, please visit my website, fsummers.com. That's F like Frank, Summers, S-O-M-M-E-R-S.com. Thank you for listening.